So this is Build a Better Business, and we've been talking all about our different offers, our first base, second base, third base, finally, what's our home run? And I just kind of want to do a kind of an overstatement here. What one person chooses as their home run, another person might choose as their third base, which is their bread and butter. Another person might choose that as their second base. And let me give you an example. I was just sharing as we were coming on that Sherry, who is my co-mod, she is actually starting her 5-day challenge tonight. And of course, it goes for 5 days. Are you ready for this? She has 63 people signed up. Can you believe that? I know. I'm so excited for her. So anyhow, the reason she's not on, and I was just sharing, is that she went to get her hair done this morning because she knows she's going to be on camera and she wants to record this and maybe make it an evergreen type challenge. And for those of you that don't remember what that means that she can play this challenge, or somebody can sign up and purchase this challenge without her ever even being present. It becomes evergreen. It's something that she can use to market her business over and over again. So she knows that she's going to record it. She's not quite sure how she's going to use it at the other end. But here's my point. I don't know, because her charge is around $99. So without me knowing her price points on all of her offers, I don't know whether the $99 one is her mid-level, it's her bread and butter offer, which is what she's going to pay her bills with, or whether this is her home run. I don't know without having a further conversation with Sherry. Yes, Ruth.
The main part of it is complimentary, but you can do a VIP.
Okay, so her VIP is the 99.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least that's
Okay,
what I
because what
understand it.
Because I clicked through to register and it had a ticket for 99. So I'm not sure. But anyway, so my point is that one person might use a 5-day challenge for free at the top of their funnel to get folks to tap in. And then, like Ruth said, add a $99 VIP ticket, which, and maybe I missed that part, Ruth. So because I was clicking through in a hurry just to kind of get a feel for what she was doing. So then the $99 VIP ticket could then take that same free offer and turn it into your first or second base. See, so you could actually use it a lot of different ways. And that's my point, is that there's not one fits all when it comes to creating your offers. You have to start, and here's when we talked about this last time, you have to start with your third base. What is your bread and butter offer? What is that offer? What is it? Where are you making the most money? You have to go back and review all of your products and services and what brings you in the most income. And it'll naturally rise to the top. You'll be able to tell what that item is. Elise, question.
Okay, so what if you are still like in the process of building and you don't know what's selling the most, or you haven't sold anything? Would you be able to still make these offers, or are you kind of just like putting things out there and then kind of readjusting as you go forward?
All the above. You're going to readjust as you go because something that you don't think is going to, pay the bills ends up paying the bills. And then you go, wow, this really took off more than what I was expecting. It resonated with my followers, with my tribe. However, I will say this, if you do not have that third base carved in stone yet, please, please, please consider some sort of a membership site. Because a membership site is where folks will tap in and then they just pay month after month after month after month. And that gives you a nice little passive income base. Now, you have to continually add value and you want to create products and services around that membership site to where they feel that they're getting tons of value. But that is a perfect third base offer, is some sort of a membership site. Now, when it comes to like Debbie, who is doing Melaleuca, see, for her third base would be if she can get somebody to actually sign up as a consultant along with her, see, because that way, not only is she selling to clients, but now she has kind of her downline also selling and she's getting a commission from that. And so that's just going to go on. and on and on. And for those of you that are in MLNs, the multi-level marketing, realize that that's where the real money is. Selling products is a great place to be, because obviously when you start with third base and then go backwards, the reason you got into the business and became a consultant or an associate or whatever the term is for your company, when you got involved with that, it was because you believed in the products, and you probably started off by buying the products and then said, you know what, these products are really good. I think I too want to sell these products. And that's how you got to where you are in the MLN. And so that's why it's a great place for you to think of that as your bread and butter, because that's where folks will tap in and just stay with you forever, because they love the products. They came up through the ranks the same way you did, and they love the products that your company is offering, and so therefore they're going to hang in there. So think about what you want that to be, and then go backwards. So what can I then offer to where I'm going to offer them to be in this third base position? For me, it's my actual membership site. So what can I offer somebody that would make them want to join the membership site? Well, I could offer them course. See, I could go backwards from there. Well, how do I get them interested in the course? I could offer them, you know, a free chat with me. I could offer them a free ebook. I could do a 5-day challenge on the particular topic. See, and then I could have a $99 VIP ticket to bring it on into first base or second base. And then they'll say, I love this challenge, I'm buying the course, you know, and then you can start layering your products. You can start saying, okay, if you're going to do the freebie, you get the free meetup, you get the course along with the if you join the mastermind, you get everything ahead of it or behind it, everything that you did leading up to it, you get included, see? So now you're gonna start packaging these things together. So then if I have somebody that signs up for coaching, see, and they're gonna pay for coaching, see, then I wanna give them tons of value. So I'm gonna let them tap into the course and the free meetups and the recordings and the replays. You know, I want to give them tons of value if they're going to pay for, and that's one of my home runs is having somebody sign up for coaching. Now I only have 5 coaching spots a week. Okay. And generally a person does not want to coach more than once a week. Sometimes they only want to coach once a month. You know, it depends on their schedule. And so when I start thinking about my marketing and I go back to my calculator, let's say that in a perfect world, somebody wants to coach, you know, once a week. Well, then in 5 weeks, their coaching package would be over. So I then could kind of plug them in knowing that they're coming once a week. And then I would have to either renew them if they wanted to continue, or I would have to sell another coaching package at the end of them. At the end of their 5 weeks. So if somebody only wanted to coach once a month, then of course they're going to go for 5 months before their coaching, because it's 5 sessions, because, you know, before their coaching package is finished. And then they would either sign up again. Now there's all kinds of combinations. Let's say somebody signs up for a coaching package and they want to come once a week because they've got an end goal in mind and they want to just tap in once a week and get there faster. And then once they get there and they start to think, and because I'm going to help them how they think, that's the whole part of the coaching, is helping somebody know all the different variations. You're not telling the person what to do when you're coaching. You're basically giving them some examples of how else they can think about what their goal is. And so at that point, once they get through the 5 weeks and they realize how they can get to their goal, they might want to switch to once a month. They might want to buy another 5 session package, but only tap in once a month instead of once a week. So there's all kinds of combinations there. And so it's up to you on what you decide you want that first base, second base, third base, and what you want your home run to be. Now, in our free meetups, which is at the top of my funnel. And so all of you know now how it works. I do, you know, the free meetup, and that's how folks tap in and they get to hear a little bit about what I have to offer. I'm also getting some folks that want to sell tangible products, but because I am a passive income coach, I will always slant those tangible products to online, even though it's a tangible product. So if they're going to sell candles, I want to talk to them how they can launch maybe an actual website where they're selling those candles online. Because the whole point of passive income is to be able to do whatever it is you do from anywhere in the world. If you have to, now, don't get me wrong, somebody might tap in and they want to start a hair salon or a pizza shop. Well, that has to be a brick and mortar location. And that's okay. But it's going to take a lot longer to turn that into something passive. And here's why. Because of the cash flow and starting a business, statistics tell us that it takes 3 to 5 years for a business to finally start to break even. And, you know, you're climbing. And somewhere between 3 and 5 years, you hit the peak where you're breaking even, you're starting to make a profit. And now it starts to get easier as you go down the other side. Well, until they peak in that hair salon or pizza shop or whatever brick and mortar business they want to start, they've got investments to make. They're spending more money than they're making as they're climbing to that peak. Once they peak and start making money, as we call it, turn the corner where now they're making a profit, that's when they can start thinking about making that business passive. And what that means is they have to replace themselves as the pizza maker with a manager who also can make the pizza. Okay. So that they then can maybe go start a second pizza shop. And that's how you see these chains get started, is that the owners of those chain restaurants or hair salons or whatever have learned how to duplicate themselves. So you see where it takes longer to make an actual brick and mortar business become passive. Okay. Does that make sense to everybody? So I want to share my screen. So bear with me here just a moment till I get back to, this is our actual course for Build a Better Business. I'm going to scroll to the top just to kind of show you the course. And let me move our faces out of the way here. I start off by talking about adding more heart to your business, because I definitely want to be heart-centered business. The first thing we talk about is your VPS, how to create your own value proposition statement. And then we get into storytelling, we get into serving as selling. And then this is a step-by-step guide to BBB your website. And so when you talk about your website, you have a character. Think about this as you're writing your website. You have a character or a customer, and this customer, I'll say character, has a problem, and they meet a guy. Now you're the guy who gives them a plan with a call to action that helps them avoid any pitfalls or failures, that ends with their success. So whenever you're putting together your website, again, you have to think about, and this character is what we call your avatar. You have to think about, who is that person or persons that has a problem, and what is their problem? And what problem is it that you can help them solve? Because you're the guide. And so now you're going to give them the plan. And that's why when you create your website, you want it to be very simple. You want it to be step one, step two, step three, step one, do this, step two, do this. Then you're going to call them to action to do it. You're going to have a call to action right on your website. But you're going to then give all of the promises on how you're going to help them avoid the pitfalls and the failure, so that they too can end with success. So that's the formula. So from there, you then have to start creating, what are these offers? These are going to be, if you scroll back up, these are going to be the plan. So what are the plans? Well, your first is an opt-in offer that your target audience or that character, that customer, is going to love. So this, we go through all kinds of things. What is your genius that you can give away? What kind of an answer do you need for your public? You can do an Amazon book search to see what topics people are looking up in your category of what you're offering. You can look up YouTube video categories, because remember, this is how people are searching. This Amazon book search and YouTube video category search, this is how folks are searching. And so you want to have an answer there. See, this is where you find out, what are the questions? What are the questions that my target character or audience or avatar, what are their questions? Here's where you find out what their questions are. so that you know how to construct or create your offer. So then you get to that first base offer, and we talk about the four ingredients in creating the offer. You have to create something that everyone can afford. That's your first base, because this is where your avatar, your customers get to know, like, and trust you. It will help you boost your sales. And then we talk about making some of those limited time offers to help boost your sales. But then you get into a second base. So now your client, that character, that avatar, is becoming a fan. And so now there's some ideas of products or services that you can use to create passive income. And then again, with second base offer, my second base offer is a course. So I threw a module in here about how to create a course or a workshop curriculum, because that's my favorite one for second base. Then creating a killer third base, this is going to be your bread and butter. And then there are seven steps to design and develop group coaching or a mastermind membership site. And again, if you haven't created something yet for your third base, I do like the membership site idea. And then for today's topic, we're creating a home run package. And so you want to create that irresistible offer. There's three simple one-on-one coaching program techniques for beginners. So if you decide you want coaching to be your home run, then there is a module for that. And then this is how to hit a home run and make $1,000 a week online. Now, think about that. $1,000 a week, that's $52,000 a year. And we're going to get into that. I'm going to come, this is the module we're going to cover today. So I'm going to come back to this one. So think about who else that you know, maybe college degree teachers, I don't know, RNs, plumbers, Who else makes $52,000 a year? Where does that fall on the spectrum of income if you made $1,000 a week, if you just started with that as a goal? And we're going to come back to that. Next month, we're going to talk all about how to actually put all of this together. We've talked, you know, from the beginning about the VPS and the storytelling and the serving and then all of the offers. And we're going to put it all together next month. And then we're also going to talk about how you can then put that out across your social media. And then the month after that, it's all about blogging. And the month after that is all about podcasting. And then finally, the month after that, it's all about public speaking. So we're going to come back to this home run, and we're going to click on this one. And this is what I want to talk about today. It's how to hit a home run and make $1,000 a week online. So first of all, there are some ways that you can make $1,000 a week online with no experience. So we talk about blogging like it's part of our marketing, which it is, because for me, I've created the free classes, the free meetups. I've created the courses. I've created the mastermind. I have the one-on-one coaching. And so when I blog, I point back to my products and services. Now, you can actually use blogging as one of your products and services. You see how versatile this is? Blogging can actually be one of your products and services. And there's a lot of things that you can do with it. If you have a business of any size, a blog can be used to reach your target audience. So again, it does become a marketing tool, but, and here it says a professional blog can cost as little as $275 per month. If you click there, guess what it does? That's an affiliate link, takes you right back to my HostGator. For those of you that know, that's where I have my blog. But here is a number of ways to earn upwards of $1,000 every week with your blog. And you could do ads. You could do the affiliate marketing. You could do coaching. See, you could create a coaching program. Patreon, this is and there's a link under there. When you click on Patreon, this is a way that if you're creative, like with art or music, where you can actually make money with your art and music. That's what Patreon is. You can create all kinds of services, all kinds of products, all kinds of courses, all kinds of eBooks, and then you could have sponsored posts. So this could actually be sitting right there. Maybe your goal for your home run is to just build your blogging audience, because that's where you're making the most money, is people that are clicking through on your blog. So maybe your goal is to try to get folks to sign up for your blog. Okay. That's all I'm saying. You can use the blog as top of your funnel as a freebie to get folks to tap in, to get to know, like, and trust you, which is part of your marketing, which is what I do. Or you can actually make the blog the big money maker in your business. See, it depends on what you want and how you feel. If you're a writer and you love writing and you love blogging and you understand how you can sprinkle that out across social media and get lots of connections there, blogging might be one of your offers. Again, it doesn't have to be the home run one. It could be any one of your offers. Okay. Now, my favorite method is affiliate marketing. And so whenever I blog, I have at least 3 or 4 affiliate links sprinkled throughout my blog. Okay. Now, some products offer a great percentage, some as high as 50%. Now, not all of them are that high, but for those of you that know, and I know Ruth does, know Carrie Oberbrunner, I actually use his affiliate link for AAE, which is Author Academy Elite. And when he started, he was charging $5,000 for AAE. And if you sent someone to him through your affiliate link, you got paid $1,000 if that person was accepted into the author program. And I've made, I don't know, probably $10,000. I've probably sent 10 people through. So again, affiliate links, that's not 50%, 1,000 out of his 5,000, but it's still a nice little paycheck to get $1,000 for somebody signing up for his program. Okay. So this means that you don't have to invest the time in creating a product or a course. All you're doing is sending it over to someone else. Okay. And what happened, and again, watch for some of those slightly more illuminated paths as they come your way. Here's what I mean by that. I was in the Ohio Writers Guild just as a member because I hadn't even authored. As a matter of fact, I still haven't. I have some eBooks out there, but I have not authored an actual book. I will come September 6th. My book launches on, I think it's on Amazon now. It's on iBooks, the pre-sale, and it launches on Amazon. And so the official launch is September 6th. So it's right around the corner. But I was a member of the Ohio Writers Guild, and the gentleman that was leading that group, he said, I'm sick. I can't continue this. Is there anybody in the group that would like to step up to the plate and facilitate this group? And I'm thinking, I'm not even an author. See, I was less than. I'm not even an author. I can't facilitate that group. Who am I? I'm not even an author. How can I facilitate a group full of authors? And so I didn't. I just waited. And, you know, and then a few weeks later, here it was again, he posted, you know, please, the group's been around for so long. I hate to see it go by the wayside. I know with the pandemic, we've not been able to meet in person. I need somebody to step up to the plate that can handle it online, that knows how to do it virtually. I really don't even know how to do it virtually, but I need somebody that does. Would somebody please step up? And so this went on and on. Well, of course, for those of you that are faith-based, you know where I'm going with this. I wrestled with it. I didn't sleep very well at night for a few nights because I knew in my heart of hearts that I needed to step up, and I was fighting it. And I kept telling myself, I can't lead a group of authors. I'm not an author. And so finally I said, you know what? I'm going to step out in faith that I'm going to figure it out. And so I sent him a message through Messenger, and I said, I don't know if you'd be interested in me or not, but I think I can at least, you know, keep the group afloat. And so he said, well, he said, I'm actually on hospice now. And he said, I'm not even going to be able to interview you. He said, but the guy that originally created the group is willing. He said, he's retired. He's a lot older, but he's willing to step in and actually interview you. So I was nervous. And I remember that interview. I was thinking, okay, what was he going to ask me? You know, is he going to say, and how many books have you published? And this guy was like a college professor in writing, a literature professor. And of course, you know, here I am really feeling less than at that point. And he just, you know, we just had a conversation and I relaxed. I just answered. It was very conversational. At the end, he said, I think you'll do fine. And he turned it over to me, and we've grown the group by 300 members in the last 12 months. And I have a meetup once a month where I interview a different author. I've interviewed publishers. I've interviewed folks from around the world. And it has been an amazing journey for me, only because I saw an opportunity there. And even though I was trying to talk myself out of it, I knew I was being drawn that direction. Now, that's one story. Here's a second story. So now I'm on Meetup. For any of you that are on Meetup, if you're a member of Meetup or follow Meetup events, which I was doing, an admin, I guess, is the term they use. If an admin steps down from a Meetup group, Meetup does not want that group to go away. Now, you have to pay, don't quote me, but I think it's like $99 a year and you can have up to 3 Meetups. So what happens is if a group isn't performing the way an admin or owner is hoping, they might just step down. Well, you can't delete the group because Meetup doesn't allow you to do that. The admin just has to step down and then they walk away and go, I don't want that group anymore because I want to start a different group and I don't want to pay another $99. So I need to get rid of the group that's not working so much for me. Just get rid of it. So what Meetup does is they send out an email to all the members of the group and they say, your admin has stepped down. Would you like to take your admin's place? So I was in this B&B group. And again, it was heavy on my heart that I was going to start a B&B course. I was getting a lot of questions. How do we, you know, you're doing the real estate, Kathy. We want to do short-term rentals. Can you help us do short-term rentals? You've got a short-term rental. Can you show us how to do short-term rental? How do we figure out the zoning? How do we do this? How do we do that? So I was in this Meetup group for short-term rentals. Got this email. The admin has stepped down. Do you want, you know, does anybody as a member want to step up and become the admin? Here I was again. I'm like, okay, I don't really have a course yet. What am I going to do? There was like 300 people in the group. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do with these 300 people? I don't really have anything yet put together. How can I make it work? You know, but I thought, you know, I hate for the group to go away because then you get another email and it says, we're asking again, would anybody in the group like to step up and become the admin? And then after 30 days of them asking, the group disappears, dissolves. Well, here are 300 people that already basically said, I'm interested in short-term rentals because they had joined a short-term rental group. See, half of my work was already done for me. I already had 300 people that I knew were interested in short-term rentals. So if I was going to have a course about short-term rentals, it would just make sense for me to step up and take the admin position. And so once you do take the admin position, you own the group, okay? And so I thought, all right, here I go again. I'm going to do it. So I took the group. And so the first thing I did is it forces you, or me in that case, to actually, you know, clean up my act. I had to get busy. I had to make my graphic for my cover photo. You know, I had to change the name. I had to just, you know, make sure I got it all cleaned up and going in the direction I wanted it to go. But I didn't want to lose the interest of the group. So I didn't want to totally change direction. So I wouldn't step into a short-term rental group and then turn it into a quilting group, for example, because those folks would be like, quilting? Yeah, no, we signed up for short-term rental. So they would probably leave the group. But because I wanted to do short-term rental, I just followed right on. Do you know I had only one person leave the group? Only one. And from there, it has exploded. And from that, now I do a meetup once a month in this group, in meetup.com, the ins and outs of opening a B&B, a guest house, a VRBO, an Airbnb. And now we've just added midterm rentals to the mix. And I interview somebody every month on how they got started, what they had to go through for zoning, you know, how they've created this product that they're selling, which is a short-term or midterm rental. And so you have to, and my point in those two stories is keep your eyes open, because sometimes the universe, once you're in alignment with your true calling, the universe will sometimes put that right in your lap. Don't miss it when that happens. Okay. So now I'm on again. Oh, here comes Sherry. We get to see the new do. So sometimes you have to, again, pick up an opportunity when it's there. And so here is another example. So now I get another email from Meetup. It's another group totally. They have never had an event that I went to. The topic kind of registered with me. So I had been a member for some time, but the group really wasn't doing anything. And so sure enough, what happened is the admin stepped down and said, don't want to be the admin anymore. Meetup in true form sent out the email to all the members saying, would anybody else like to be the admin? And this group did not really resonate with any of my products or services. But for those of you that know Debbie Marks, who is in this mastermind, she was wanting to start something. And she was like, I don't know how I'm going to build up an audience. Here was a group with over 200 members in it that the admin had stepped down. And it was just a social group to get together, to get to know each other. I immediately called Debbie. This was like at 10 o'clock on a Friday night. I called Debbie and I said, Debbie, I said, I have a group for you. And she's like, okay, what do I do? And I said, first of all, you got to join the group to be a member. She wasn't even a member. I was the member. So she joins the group. So now she's a member. So now she gets the email that says, this group doesn't have an admin. Is there any members that would like to be the admin? I said, okay, now click on and become the admin. So she clicked to become an admin. I said, now make that your own, but don't totally erase everything they're doing. And somewhere, and I can't remember back now because she's had a group, and this is her fireside chat with Debbie Marks. Somewhere in the name was Fireside. And so we really played around with some names. And so she said, I just want to interview people and just, you know, start building an audience, start, you know, so now she can actually promote her own products and services as well as lifting up the community. See, so it's a win-win. And so she decided on the fireside chat with Debbie Marks so we could keep the word fireside in the name, so that the members didn't feel like the whole group went away and another whole group came in. She wanted to have that consistency. And so that's how Debbie ended up with her podcast. And so then she started interviewing folks, and then I helped her turn that into a podcast. And then recently she just created her own YouTube channel. And so now when she does her interviews, she can actually upload those into her Fireside Chat with Debbie Marks YouTube channel. And she has now turned the whole thing into a podcast. And so now she does a monthly podcast. And it started because we learned how it worked when somebody steps away from a Meetup group. Now, she had to sign up for Meetup. She had to pay $99 a year for the whole year. She now can have up to 3 Meetups in that membership. And this is her one. So now, as she's developing her products and services, she's deciding that she want to put her Melaleuca, have a Melaleuca group, because she can have 3. And then, of course, she has her Fairy Garden group. And then she is doing homesteading. And so she's thinking, because with Melaleuca, there's, you know, whenever you have an MLM, they want to kind of see everything that you're doing, because they want to make sure, you know, that you're keeping their brand clean. They don't want you to start promising things they can't deliver. So she's really thinking about keeping the Fireside Chat with Debbie Marks, so she can help uplift the community. And that's at the top of her funnel. See, so as people tap in and listen to those folks that she's interviewing and listens to the interview, they then get to hear about her and what she's doing. And so now she's thinking about doing 2 more channels in the Meetup, 2 more Meetups, because she's allowed 3 for that $99, doing one on her homesteading and one on her fairy gardens, and building an audience in those separate topics. So you see how you have to just kind of keep your eyes open and watch for something that comes along that maybe you weren't expecting. Because what will happen as you're building your business is these opportunities will just be put in your lap. Now, Ruth knows, she and I and Sherry, we're in a group with Wendy. And as I was listening, Wendy said, I'm going to do a collaboration book project. And of course, here I am feeling less than in my authors group, see, because I'm not an author. What in the world am I doing here facilitating this authors group? And no one has asked me that yet. Like, what book have you authored? No one has asked me that, but I figure it's coming sooner or later. So when this train came down the tracks, you know, about being in a collaborative author project, I decided to get on the train. When that train went by, I got on because it was a price that I could afford. It was the opportunity I was looking for. It was going to have me pub as a published author by September 6th. And we're working really hard. All the authors that are in the collaborative project, we're working really hard to come out as a number one bestseller in at least one or two categories when we launch. And we're like this close. So everybody's working hard to get over the, you know, the goal. But the point is, that was another opportunity, see, that came right into my lap. And my first response was, oh, I'm not going to spend that kind of money. My second response was, well, what kind of money am I going to spend if I'm going to be a published author? And I had to really stop and weigh all of the options. And I decided it was a pretty darn good price in the scheme of things. So anyway, that's my point, is keep your eyes open, because things will come to you that will make growing your business so much easier. And what will happen is you may go in a slight different direction than what you thought you were going to go in. And that's okay. That's okay. You know, kind of let it happen. Don't force it. And when things are meant to be, and this is just my experience, and again, for those of you that are faith-based, will get this. When things are meant to be, they kind of happen rather easily. I mean, don't get me wrong. You have to put in the work. You have to have the dedication. You have to do all those things, but you don't feel like you're pounding a square peg into a round hole. It actually works out. And if you ever had something that no matter how hard you fought for it, it didn't work out. And then later you're like, oh, thank goodness that didn't work out. Now I see clearly now why that shouldn't have worked out, and it didn't. So thank goodness. And so sometimes things are just meant to happen, but keep your eyes open for those, because sometimes you can miss it. They can pass you by. And so my test, if you will, everything that comes along, I stop and ask myself, I keep the big vision. Here's where I am. Here's where I want to be. So every opportunity that comes along, I ask myself, will it push my cart in that direction? Now, it might be a great opportunity, but it doesn't. Somebody might come to me and say, Kathy, I want you to partner with me to open a pizza shop. Do you think that would be in line with what I'm doing? No, because I want the freedom to travel and work from anywhere in the world. So no, I don't want to be every Friday and Saturday night making pizzas. As much as it might be a great opportunity, and as much as it might make a great income, it's not where I'm headed. So when those opportunities come, you have to ask yourself, is this pushing my cart in the direction that I know in my heart of hearts that I'm going, on where I want to be? And if you want to give back and you want to, you know, be in that whole arena of nonprofits, which is, again, where I'm heading, I want to give back. I've worked a lot of years. I've done a lot of hours, and I'm at the place in my life where I want to give back. Well, you can give back a lot more if you have money and services and time to give back than if you don't have those resources. And so anytime I have an opportunity, I ask myself, does this help push my cart in the direction of working from anywhere in the world and being able to develop this into some way that I can give back? And so I think that's important. I think also if you do all the right stuff for all the right reasons, I think God will honor that. And that's just a heartfelt thing with me, that if you do all the right stuff for all the right reasons, God's going to honor that. Okay. So let's move on. YouTube can actually be one of your products. And Debbie, like I said, is making it hers. She's doing her Fireside Chat with Debbie Marks. She was just recording those for the longest time. I helped her with that to get off the ground. She's on Meetup. And she's like, now, where do I store these? And I said, you need a YouTube channel because it's free. And so she now has a YouTube channel. And so that's where she's putting those. So now, as that gains traction over time, she can start doing all kinds of things. She can do affiliate links in the description on YouTube. She can do advertising on YouTube. Different organizations are going to come alongside her and want to advertise on her YouTube channel. I'm now getting offers on my YouTube channel of different companies wanting to advertise. HostGator, because I've sent so many folks over to HostGator, now wants to pay me to advertise on my YouTube channel. Twist my arm. Because see, it's in line with what I'm doing. You see where I'm going with that? It's in alignment with my message. And so again, you have to be careful. You don't want to just allow an advertiser just because they're going to pay you. It has to be in alignment with your message and with your heart. You could be a virtual assistant. This one's for Elise. You can be a virtual assistant. And there's all kinds of places where you can and get jobs if you want. You don't have to just be out there trying to get somebody to click on your website. You can go to Upwork. You can go to Freelancer. There's all kinds of platforms where you can put yourself out there. And it does a couple of things. Number one, it allows you to work from anywhere in the world, which is what I'm all about. Number two, it allows you to get lots of experience. So you know what other people are charging and, you know, and you learn the ropes, you know, what's out, what other folks are offering. And number three, it makes you a nice little income while you're building your client base back home. So there's all kinds of ways that you can make money as a virtual assistant. How about a voice artist? Anybody have a great talking voice? I've had a couple of offers. I got a cute little story about being a voice artist. This was not intentional on my part, but I was working at the Concourse Hotel at Port Columbus, which is now John Glenn International Airport. And in my office, the big owner, you know, he was like, we're getting a whole new phone system. Everybody's getting this phone system. Everybody, and I was in the sales, I was in sales. So I was like middle management. I wasn't anybody, you know, that the owner would know. I was a middle management employee and, cause I was a sales manager. So anyhow, the gal who was in charge of setting up this phone system, she said, she went around the hotel and she said, I've got these five people that I want you to come to my office. So all five of us went into her office and we're thinking, oh, what is this about? And she said, I'm going to give you a script and I want you to read it. And the script was like a phone message. Hi, you have reached the CEO of our company. Thank you so much. Yeah, it was just a script. So we all read the script and she said, okay, you can go back to work now. And we all went back to work. And that was that. So we didn't think any more about it. A couple of days go by. She comes into my office and she says, well, you're it. I said, I'm it. What are you talking about? She said, we've chosen you to do all the voice recordings for the entire company. I said, what? And she said, yes, your voice was the best. She said, we want you to do all of the voice recordings. I said, well, okay. She said, so come into my office. I don't know. We had a date on next Tuesday and we'll do them. So she had all the scripts written out and she operated the buttons. And I sat there with the note tablet with all the scripts and she would click a button and point. And I would simply read that script and then she would click it off. And then she'd say, okay, take a drink of water, whatever. Here's the next one. I bet we did, I don't know, 50 greetings because we did all the people in the whole company. So now fast forward one day I'm in my office and my phone rings and this is the owner of the company. And he goes, are you a real person? And I said, yes. And he goes, this is Kathy Benner. And I said, yes. I said, how may I help you? And he's like, I'm the owner of this company. And he said, and every damn phone line I get you. He said, I'm trying to get a hold of David. Can you go find David for me? I laughed at that because my voice was on every single, and nobody was in their offices. They were all out doing whatever they were doing all around the company. And so every phone, every office he would get connected to by the operator, it would be my voice. And he was like, are you a real person? Finally, I said, yes. And he goes, well, then just hang up and go get David for me. That was our boss. Anyway, so that was my little aha. But I ended up being the voice artist for the company. Now, I didn't intend to be, but I did. And so now with Wendy, we're playing around with the idea of me reading this collaborative book for the audio portion when we're ready to go on the audio book. Now, I've never done a book. There's like 22 chapters, so I hope I get a break between chapters. So we'll see how that goes. And I may not be chosen. I don't know the process, but I do know that I'm on the list. So there you go. You could be a language teacher. If you just need to crank out some money, you could be a language teacher. There's a link right here under teaching companies that require no degree. If you click on that, I don't know if it might take me to a new page, but it might just override this one. I don't want to override this one just now, but there is a whole list of companies and you can go and check, and they pay anywhere, I don't know, from $10 an hour to like $26 an hour. And you can tap in however many hours a week you want. It doesn't matter. You get, it's totally easy to do. So you can actually teach English. And all it is, it's folks around the world that want to learn the English language, and they just need somebody to talk to in English. Anyway, check it out. This is in the course. You can scroll down and click that link. It'll tell you all the places. Flipping. Now, this is where it can be something other than digital products and services. This can be actual products and services like eBay, Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist. You can, and my son-in-law does this. He buys stuff all the time, physically buys it and cleans it up, maybe paints it, maybe not, puts it back out. And he sometimes makes four times what he paid for something. And it takes very little effort on his part. He's getting quite good at it. And he's even done vehicles, you know, being a guy, he does a lot of that, you know, the vehicle stuff, the trucks, the four wheelers, you know, the big stuff. But you can do it at any level, at whatever your passion is, whatever fits with your business, whatever it is that you want to do. Then, of course, there's the podcasting. And I was explaining how Debbie and I both are turning our podcasting into income by also putting it on YouTube. And so now we have advertisers that are looking to advertise. So there's podcast sponsorships, there's audiobooks, there's affiliate marketing. You can point them back to your coaching, your services and products. You can even do crowdsourcing. And by the way, for those of you that know about Canal Winchester, you know, because we're all from around Columbus that's on this call, well, except Ruth. We have BrewDog here in Canal Winchester, and BrewDog is a brewery totally crowdsourced. It's an Irish brewery, and it was two college guys and a dog, and they started selling, I don't know, it's not a share when you crowdsource, but they started selling pieces of the bar for $1, and then $500, and then $1,000. And so you could buy in and own this whole brewery. It's all owned by the public because the whole thing was crowdsourced. And I'm also in a crowdsourcing real estate syndicate. And so Elise, you might be interested in that. I'm in Fundrise, and it's a crowdsourcing. It's not a true syndicate. It's a crowdsourcing for real estate. And so I own real estate around the world because I'm a part of Fundrise, which is nothing more than a crowdsourcing. And I get dividends. I get income off of that. So see, there's all kinds of ways. So now there are some ways to make $1,000 a week, but you need some experience. And we're not going to get too heavy into these. Digital marketing consultant, drop shipping. Now, I like drop shipping, by the way. That is where you sell your products on your website, but you don't actually ship the products. When someone orders a product, the manufacturer warehouse ships it, the product directly to the customer. So basically, you find a supplier that makes backpacks. You sell the backpacks on your website. And when somebody buys one, you simply go over to your supplier and have it shipped directly to the purchaser. You never physically handle the backpack. You're just upselling the backpack, okay? And then Amazon has fulfillment by Amazon. This is where maybe you buy 100 backpacks and you physically have them in your possession, but you then send them over to an Amazon warehouse fulfillment center. And then when someone makes a purchase, Amazon does the packaging and ships it out. You can do that from anywhere in the world. You can do either one of these from anywhere in the world. And then of course, we have freelance writing. Again, Elise, this would be good for you to get onto Upwork. Have you ever looked at Upwork? Yep. Okay. So there's where she can do some of her services. And then of course there's affiliate marketing. Again, you just have to have the affiliate links. And then stock photography. We got any photographers in the group? You can actually sell your photos to these sites and make income If you love photography, you could actually, and now you could travel all over the world and just sell your photos to these sites. You can do refurbishing items. I had a gal when I had my salon, she actually would buy old furniture. This was a hobby. She loved doing it. And of course, you know, her house wasn't big enough because she loved buying old dressers and chairs and tables. And then she would do that chalk painting on them and make them all different colors and beautiful edges and finishes. They were gorgeous. And she would buy this stuff for like 10 bucks at a yard sale and resell it for like $500, $600, $800, $1,000. And she'd have 10 bucks in it and maybe $15 worth of paint. And she would sell it for huge money. And so she did it out of her garage in Canal Winchester. Yeah, that was her. And she loved it. It was her hobby. It was relaxing for her. But she was making really good money. Now, there's some ways to make $1,000 a week, but you have to have some experience. You could be an app developer. You could be a video editor. It's whatever your sweet spot is, whatever your background is, whatever your skill set is. Website developer, Facebook and Instagram ads manager, a Google ads specialist, an SEO specialist, a social media specialist, a game developer. You could create a course, you could be a graphic designer. And so those are all kinds of ways. So what is the fastest? The fastest, it says you can earn fast. You can take advantage of signup bonuses. You can earn money from referrals, doing high paying surveys, taking part in market research. Without any experience, you could start a blog, create a YouTube channel, become a virtual assistant, get work as a voice artist, teach your native language, flip items for profit, start a podcast. And final thoughts, just now that you know how to make $1,000 a week, which of these are you going to start and which of these could be your home run offer? Now, I'm going to click on this. It may take us out of this page, which is okay. It may give us an additional page. Yep, it's going to give us an additional. This is, and I just want to show you this. If you're thinking just $1,000, that's actually on a 40-hour work week, that's actually $26 an hour. Just so you know, that's what 52,000 comes out to. And look at this. If you come down here to the 52 range, all occupations across the country, the median, does everybody know the difference between median and average? The average is where you add them all together and divide by how many you have, and that's your average. The median is where you start at the top and the bottom and you come right to the middle. And so the median income across the country is $53,490. If you're making $1,000 a week, you're just a hint under the average, which is not bad for just creating something, you know, out of the air, deciding what you're going to do. But anything, and all these are below you: head chefs, mail carriers, insurance agents, firefighters, real estate agents, carpenters, bus drivers. Look at all the folks that are under that. Prison guards, machinists, secretaries, construction laborers, photographers, butchers, bank tellers, school teachers, preschool teachers, barbers, security guards, models, cooks, nannies, cashiers. You got tons of people below you if you created just $1,000 a week. But then look here, even if you go above, plumbers, 55, clergy, 55, electricians, 56, flight attendants, 56, high school teachers, 61. Think about the kind of effort that some of these folks put into their careers, and you could do it blogging or podcasting or being a virtual assistant. Okay. So you get the point. There's all kinds of ways that you can create $1,000 a week. And it just means you have to have a goal and you have to start. And Sherry, now that I stopped sharing my screen, I can see you. You look beautiful. She is ready for her 5-day challenge. Yes.
Getting there.
I see that. So
I'm not totally ready, but that's okay.
I want to open it up for questions on what we've been talking about. And then I want Sherry to share a little bit about her challenge that's getting ready to start tonight. Am I right, Sherry, tonight? Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Any questions on what we've been talking about? Is there any thoughts or questions that it help inspire you to start something or do something different?
I'm curious to know a little bit more about fundraise. but that might be another time frame, because that probably is a whole nother lesson. But if you can put that on your notes to talk sometime about Fundrise, and how to integrate that into an online business.
Fundrise is strictly a crowdfunding website, and they invest in real estate, and then they pay dividends back to all their investors. And so you can go in and look at their portfolio at the places they're investing in high rises in, they're investing in the big stuff, hospitals, high rises along the coast. So it's
what's
all the big
minimum
stuff.
Amount that you can put into there? Is
they're
it as
love
little
it.
As like $10, or do you need a good chunk to start?
$50.
Okay.
$50 to start. And so what I did, because I wanted to test it out, is I signed up to where it automatically, I connected one of my bank accounts over to Fundrise, and I signed up where it automatically invests $100 a month. So I'm investing $1,200 a year, and that's just going to grow over time. And then I get to pick and choose my portfolio. And of course, I'm all about, you know, single families and apartments and more than the commercial. So I chose a bunch and short-term rentals. So I chose a bunch of short-term rental developments and residential developments. And so I am now getting dividends back. Now, because I started off with only $50, you know, my dividend might have been $5. You see where I'm going with that? As my amount of investment grows, my amount of dividend is a percentage, and it's going to grow with it.
So can you get your dividend just to reinvest without giving you?
Yes. Yes.
Was that website in that list of things?
It was not. It's just Google Fundrise and you'll find it.
Okay.
Now, just so you know.
Just so my brain is thinking, and that's why I wanted to ask more clarification, is this a way of getting somebody to link into a project that you need support getting some real estate together? So that was one of the reasons I asked, is if I find a location, can I stick the property up there and have other people buy into the property to get to my million dollars.
I don't know if there is an affiliate link. That's, I think, the question you're asking is, if somebody else invests, can you benefit from somebody else investing? And that I don't know. So I'll have to research that. But here's what I do want to say. The difference between a syndicate, no matter what the product is, doesn't have to be real estate. The difference between a syndicate and a crowdfunding is that with a syndicate, you're buying a share, which means if you ever want out, you can sell your share. With a crowd fund, it's an investment that you're making, and if the money's there, you can't cash out. You can't say, I want my money back.
Okay.
So
clarifying that.
Yeah. So be careful. If you want to invest and you're going to invest a large sum, you might search out a syndicate instead of, because a syndicate basically is held in a trust in Delaware State. And with the syndicate, they actually then sell shares, and then you get dividends on your share. And you can, again, put the dividends back in and buy more shares, however you want to, or you can take it out if you want. But in that case, if you want it out, you simply sell your shares back. You say, I want to sell my shares back for whatever the going rate is, whether it's up, down, it doesn't matter. If you want out, you can get out. But with the crowdfunding, your money is invested. It's invested in these big deals and it's just kind of there.
So when you do the Fundrise, you're doing it on a monthly basis. Can you just do like a chunk and then
you can just do a one-time investment and just leave it alone. Okay. I did a $50 investment and I just let it sit for 6 months just to see if it would do anything. Mm. And again, I think I made $10. Well, $10 off of 50.
That's a good percentage. That's like a 20% return.
So that's when I said, I need to look at this a little more. Wonder if I had 50,000 in there and ended up making 20,000. Where else?
But how do you get your money back out?
Well, that's just it. With Fundrise, you'd have to have somebody that would be willing to you'd have to do it outside of Fundrise and have somebody take over your account. Okay. You'd have to find somebody that would be willing to pay you out. Because they're nothing more than a crowd. It's like I own a part of BrewDog. And if I ever wanted out of BrewDog, I would have to twist your arm, Estella, to buy my crowdfunding portion.
Okay.
Because it's not a share.
Because I always think of how do you transfer that to your family?
You would just give them ownership of your account.
Okay. Okay.
Is that helpful?
Yeah, this is National Will Month, and I want to, you know, of course, build my legacy, but also, you know, I don't want to put money into something and then, you know, it goes away.
Right.
If something happens to you.
For me, I wanted to use excess funds to mm-hmm. kind of play around with Fundrise, and I didn't want to put all my eggs in that basket.
Right, right. I get it. Thank you for sharing this interesting, very interesting concept.
Yeah, it was just a way to have passive income on property that I didn't have to clean or paint. So anyway, so there's that. Any other questions about what we talked about? I hope this inspired you.
Oh, it was very valuable. I appreciate your going through the various ways that we can make $1,000. You know, I know that list was probably like a 1 out of 1,000 % of what's available, but just if you have the creative mind and the time to do it,
now here, let me say this. You don't have to have the time, and here's why. Let your business create itself. Let your business create itself. Just start with one thing and let your business create itself. I knew that I have an interest in the 8 lanes that I have on my website is where my interest is. That's what I'm about. That's what I'm doing personally. That's where, or like I shared early on, I think before Sherry got on the call, is some things just landed in my lap, like the Ohio Writers Guild. Well, yeah, I'm interested in writing. I was writing courses at the time, even though I didn't feel like I was worthy enough to facilitate a whole writer's group. It basically was handed to me, and I was kind of foolish not to at least, you know, look at that as an opportunity. And now looking back, I'm glad I did. But just kind of let it happen. You don't have to sit down and go, I've got to create all this stuff, and I've got this whole big thing I'm building out, and it's stressful. And I'm, you know, so what I did is I just did my free meetups on the topics that I was interested in. Once I started doing free meetups, I knew the questions people were asking because they literally were coming onto the free meetup and asking me the questions. So I knew what answers I had to have. So once I did that for the first year, I just did free meetups for a year. I didn't have to prep for them. All I had to do was put them on the calendar. I didn't have to do anything. So after that first year, see, and a core group of people were always tapping in. You know, you get your tribe, you get your peeps, you get your raving fans. Then what I did is I said, would you guys be interested in a mastermind? And they were like, well, yeah. So that's when I then launched the mastermind. And so at that point, I thought, well, I need a course, okay, to go with this mastermind. And so I wrote the course as the mastermind unfolded. I didn't sit down and write a whole course about real estate, the 6 F's of real estate. When I had that first meetup, everybody said, how do we find our next deal? And I went, finding the deal. So I simply wrote a module about finding the deal. And then I had the mastermind. And I went over to Teachable. And I said, here's how you find the deal. And they were like, oh my gosh, Kathy, this is such valuable information. Well, then I thought, after that was over, I thought, well, what comes after finding? Okay, you found the deal. How are you going to fund it? And so I said, okay, I'm going to now research and write a module about funding. I just wrote one module. I had like 2 weeks to play around with writing a module about funding. So I wrote all about funding. Then when I had the mastermind call, the topic was funding. And they went, oh my gosh, Kathy, that's amazing. We wanted to know how to fund it. Well, so now they found the deal. They funded the deal. So now their next question is, how do we fix it? And that's when I said, you know what? I see a series of F's coming here. What can I call this course? See, so it just kind of unfolded over the weeks that I was doing the mastermind and the free meetups. And then I thought, okay, well, now they need to know how to fix it. So now I went all in and did a whole module about how do you find contractors? How do you vet the contractors? How do you know a good one? What's the right price you should be paying for these to fix? And so then I thought, ooh, we finding it, funding it, fixing it. Let's see if we could go for 6 months. How could I do the six F's of real estate? Well, what comes after fixing it? Well, you could flip it. You know, you could buy it and fix it up. You know, you find it, you fund it, you fix it, and now you flip it. You sell it to somebody else and make a profit. So then I did a whole module on flipping. Well, wonder if you don't want to flip it. Wonder if you want to buy and hold. Well, how about how do you fill it? So then I wrote a whole module about how to fill it. So then I thought, well, what comes after that? You know, you find it, you fund it, you fix it. You can either flip it or fill it. And if you fill it, then what is your freedom number? How do you have freedom doing that? So those are my six F's of real estate. And so now I just go through those every 6 months, January to June. I start over July to December. I don't have to reinvent the wheel because no matter what the market is doing, there's still questions about finding, funding, fixing. There's the same questions. The numbers are all different depending on the market we're in or what state we're in or, you know, what your finances are, but the questions are all the same. And so now all I do is every time I go through one, I take the opportunity to add more to that module. So see, I didn't write this whole great big thing. And so I can remember early on, I thought, I wrote this course, but I hope nobody buys it because it's not very robust. Has anybody else felt that way? I wrote this course, but it needs more content. And I don't know what else, because I don't know what I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I kind of let the courses and the business basically create itself. And when I go back and look at what I have now compared to where I started, I'm blown away. I can't believe how
filled. I'm going to step away for a minute. I hear you.
So I can't believe how filled out my courses have become, but I had to start because if I waited to get the courses totally filled out, I would have never started. I would have just always told myself I wasn't ready yet. So does that make sense? I know it does to some of you that are writing courses like Sherry and Ruth. Yeah, it makes sense. Sherry, tell us a little bit about your 5-day challenge. And because we're in the Build a Better Business, give us a little bit of the nuts and bolts on what you did to create this program.
Mm-hmm. Can I share my screen?
Absolutely. Let me come here and bear with me here. I got to find you, go to the more. First of all, I'm going to make you a host.
I think that gave me the chance.
I think it did. I think now you can share.
Okay. So this was my aha moment when I was in the middle of.
Now I don't see your screen yet.
I know.
Okay.
This was my aha moment in the middle of Wendy and Brendan's 5-day challenge about making a 5-day challenge a few weeks ago. And that was a reflection of something that happened back in January. So I'm backstepping a little bit so you can see where my brain has been filtering and processing. I took Carrie Oberbrunner's course back in January about based on his book, Your Book Is Not a Business Card. And then that other module that he was talking about and some of the extra stuff that you got inside that course was one of the things that he talked about was each one of your products needs to have a selling point. And I had this, oh my, I don't have a selling point. What's my selling point? What is that? Excuse me, that thing that makes my stuff different than all of the other people out there, different than the OTs. Yes, I was talking about dysgraphia, but I didn't have a selling point. And so between that and a lot of self-reflection and stuff in the middle. I had, by that point, I had had my selling point, and that's called the Dysgraphia Warm-Up Protocol. And so that was that. And then it was like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to sell this? And so what I was doing was creating a community in which, thank you for going over there. It makes it much easier to talk. Sorry. Somebody was sitting on my lap. So I have now the Dysgraphia Warm-Up Protocol, and I'm still doing a lot of processing about how to sell it. I took the time off in June. Now, if you know anything about flow, which is one of the things I'm talking about tonight, you've got the struggle, which is, how am I going to do this? You have to have time to release and let your brain process it. And that's what was happening in June. We come back from that. In the beginning of July, I had a how to put a cup podcast together, followed by Wendy and Brandon's thing. So I went back into content consumption for a little bit of a time. Anyway, I had all that stuff that was going on ahead of time. And during their 5-day challenge, I went, oh, this could be a 5-day challenge. How am I going to do that? And so I started writing things down, and like, it started like flying out of me like crazy, because I did what Carrie Oberbrunner says is, I prepared for the moment. And so the moment was
prepared. Was prepared for you. Yep.
So then it was, okay, how am I going to pull this one off technology-wise? Because I had chosen not to purchase anything from Brandon and Wendy.
Okay.
Because I have Mr. Technology in the background.
Right.
So I am have the gift of Mr. Technology. So I went, okay, how do we do this? So let me hit the share screen button. Screen two. So we chose a product called Ticket Tailor. Okay. Ticket Tailor allows you to create your events. So this is the one that's happening right now. Look at the number as of right this very moment.
Oh, wow.
I am blown away. Okay. So I'm going to click into it. View the event page. So the other thing that I knew was my marketing needed something that was going to hook my customer. So I needed to do the problem, agitate, solve. And so now I had the product, I had the solution. I knew what the problem was, but how was I going to agitate it? And this came to me sometime between July and the beginning of August. I mean, this is like how short a time frame that this was to put this together.
And you're launching tonight.
Yes, I'm launching. Yeah. So, and then, do you aspire to be a teacher who keeps their students on task, gets the most improved classroom of the year, and has teachers coming to you for help? Does that sound like a good agitate?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So then I go on and I talk a little bit more. I talk about my 5 days. Whoops. Michael has that thing on my computer. Yep. Every once in a while, I lose my mouse. And then we included the bonus act stuff right here. And then this. So then it was register now.
Okay, so the 99, are you charging 99 to everyone or just to those who get the bonus?
Just to those to get the bonus.
Okay, that's what Ruth thought. Okay.
So at this point, only one person has upgraded to the VIP.
Okay.
I didn't call this up ahead of time. What I'm doing almost immediately. Now, Ruth, tell me, because you did the 5-day challenge already and you did it with the stuff with them. What is this? Oh, here's my sales cycle. Like, look what happened yesterday. Look where it was. It was 63 people page views on the 13th, on the 14th alone. There was 144. It was just blowing me away.
Where did you post this at that people could find you like that?
Facebook groups. So I posted on my homepage, and I also took the information that is on the the digital printout. I made a PDF of it as well. And I put the PNG, the PDF, on a bunch of Facebook groups that I'm permitted to. Because there's a lot of, you kind of really watch because you don't want to get kicked off of one.
Yeah, they don't want you to link on some of them. So you have to kind of look at the rules. Yeah.
So you got to look at the rules. So I did a bunch of teachers. And then I called up a friend of mine who has this huge OT group. And I said, would you please be willing to do this for me? He's like, absolutely. And he's like, give me the information. He puts it up. And then this morning, Jonna Lee sends out an email blast to her entire list. So everybody that signed up today, if I look back at them and what I know, they're all Jonna Lee's.
Hey.
So I encouraged a couple people to help me. So it wasn't always coming from me, Estelle. So that was one of those things. Okay, so it was mostly because if I look back, because the other thing that Michael could do with Ticket Tailor is that we could create unique links. So we created a way of tracking where the people came from, because we have on the back end, we were able to create different URLs based on where the link was getting posted.
And then that way you could trace that URL and say, this came from Jonna Lee's blast out. This came from Facebook. Okay, perfect.
Yep. So we figure that almost 70% or more have come from Facebook. Now, I didn't go into those analytics. Michael did. He said most everybody is coming from a Facebook group.
Now,
you have hardly anybody from LinkedIn. You have hardly anybody from Twitter. You have a couple. They're also coming from LinkedIn. On LinkedIn, because of the way LinkedIn is, you can't, even though I had the link there, they couldn't access the link. So I was saying, hey, if you need the link, DM me. So yeah. We were on the back end, I was sending the link through a DM.
Now, you can put the link, it will allow you to link in your profile.
Yes.
And but so my I
could have, but I chose not to.
Yeah. And you could have said, catch the link in my profile.
Mm-hmm. I could have, but I didn't. Yeah.
So most of mine are coming from meetup.com.
Because you've been putting yourself out there. Mm-hmm. One thing I will say between Meetup and Eventbrite is free as long as it's free.
Right.
So you can, and that was one of the things that we thought about. Do we put this on Eventbrite and then link it in to Facebook? Right. And I like the way Ticket Tailor sets up a little bit nicer than that. And Ticket Tailor does cost some money, unlike Eventbrite, which is totally free.
But it gives you the option to have the different links so you can track.
Yes.
So it gives you some back end information.
So one of the things, not right now, Krista. One of the other things.
I do have a question.
My question is
how much do you expect? How many do you expect to actually show up? Have you looked at statistics on folks that sign up versus show up?
Probably about 50-50.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
But one of the things I did because of the topic and stuff, I've got a lot of people who I am anticipating showing up. I actually upgraded Zoom to webinar. So I converted this to a webinar so I can have 500 people there.
Yes. I converted my Zoom to webinar as well.
I want to share my screen one more time because I want to show you something else I did. And that is down here, I have a second ticket because this one expires.
Okay.
When the event starts, I actually created another ticket that during the event, I'm going to promote this other link so that they can join as a VIP.
Okay.
And then
after the fact.
And I have two people set up in the room to help me out, and that's Jonna Lee and Jen Porter.
Good.
So they have the PDF. of a couple things that I'm going to share, which is going to include the buy link. So right out of the gate, the first thing I'm going to say to them is, if you want to save your hand tonight, go sign up for VIP, because the guidebook has everything filled in. If you don't sign up for VIP, you're going to have to write.
Yeah. So and even if they don't click right then, as the information comes out and it's pure gold, they're going to say, you know what? I need that VIP. So every time you reset the room, you can say, I'm giving you a chance if you still want to jump over and get that VIP. And that way they can do it anywhere in the course of the 5-day challenge.
Right.
And smart move.
Yeah. And I reviewed all the slides with Jonna Lee yesterday, and she's like, oh my, Sherry, that is so much stuff in 5 hours. Their minds are going to be blown. So anybody who jumps on to the second half, the VIP, that's still a room like this. So the webinar is going to be strictly me dishing out information. The second half is when they can ask a question. So if they have any questions, the comment's going to be, join the VIP and get your question answered.
Wow. I cannot wait. This is going to be so huge for you. This is a great launch.
It is huge. Just having that many people respond is huge. Mm-hmm. So Ruth, I'm going to ask you if you're available. I know you have your screen turned off at the moment. Was there a blatant miss in me with the 5-day challenge that you think I should be thinking about between now and tonight?
No, not really. The only thought that comes to my head, and I don't know if you got this covered or not, is it's good to just do music at the beginning while people are coming in.
Yes, I have two songs picked out that I'm going to put on repeat. And both of them reflect my business branding. And that is that everybody is a king and queen. So it's an audio adrenaline song called Kings and Queens. And then there's one by Carrie Underwood that talks about kings and queens. And I'm going to just have those two on repeat.
Now, I have one more suggestion. If you go into your picture gallery, you could actually go over to Canva and make a welcome graphic, mm-hmm. if you haven't made one yet. And you can pop that up by just sharing your screen and letting your gallery, that picture show on your screen. And it's just kind of a welcome, you know, to the 5-day challenge graphic. And it can just sit there while your music's playing. Unless you have a music video. Wendy sometimes will use a music video, so people are actually watching the music video.
You do need to be careful with any music if you're going to post this on any social media, like if you're going to do replays anywhere.
I won't do the music on social media.
Because if it's, you've got to have royalty-free music.
Right.
Yesterday, I'm working on a webinar for Wills, but one of my colleagues, she just went to YouTube and found some music, and you know, we're just playing that. So I would imagine that wouldn't be royalty free if you could just play that music. I mean, I don't know, it was like something upbeat, mm-hmm. and that you could play
as long as it says royalty free and so yeah.
Well, I don't even know where to look for the royalty free piece on that, but it was like something you
just type royalty-free music in your browser.
Okay. Well, just so you know, I figured if it was YouTube that it was available for me to use as an intro.
Probably not.
Okay. Thank you for that info.
Yeah.
How do we join your thing tonight?
Oh,
you were. Yeah, Sherry, put your link in there if you want.
Sure.
Kathy? What were you saying about doing something on Canva?
If she goes over to Canva, she can create a graphic that just says welcome with the name of the challenge or whatever she wants it to say. And then she can share, save it in her gallery, her picture gallery on her computer, and then just share the screen and open that up. And so, you know, when you share a screen and you see whatever's on the screen, they would see her welcome graphic.
Yeah. As long as I'm not recording at that point, that welcome screen, I can play like the Carrie Underwood song and stuff like that and not get
through.
Yeah, you could. Cause that way you,
Estella, did you hear that?
What did she say? She said, as long as.
I'm not recording while the welcome section is going on, then that part can be on there. I can play Carrie Underwood. I can play Audio Adrenaline. It's when I start recording that I have to stop.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Yes, perfect workaround. I love it. Well, this has been great. We've gone over, and I know we have, but I wanted Sherry to share because she's launching tonight. We're excited for her. She's put in the chat the link, so save the link there if you want to tap in.
And Ruth, thank you for joining. I saw that you joined already.
Yeah, this is going to be wonderful. I am so excited. So Ruth has done a 5-day challenge. Sherry is now doing a 5-day challenge. Estella, you're working on a webinar. Debbie is doing her podcasting. I'm doing my podcasting. I love it. I love it. The tide rises all the ships. I love it. I think we're all doing a great job. I hope I've inspired you today. I hope that you are ready to roll up your sleeves and take that next step.
I want to say, Kathy, I enjoyed your stories.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
As far as watching for something to fall in your lap, because I firmly believe that's going to happen.
Yes.
You know, for all of us. I'm just claiming that for all of us.
Yes, absolutely. It happens all the time, and I think we miss it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just keep your eyes open. Once you recognize a couple, you start recognizing more.
And I think we, watch out for each other.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like when I saw the one for Debbie.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, folks.
And just a little tidbit here before we stop recording is I utilized Kathy's idea of, I don't know about you, but as I was creating that script on the registration page.
Mm.
I mean, it might not look like it directly there, but that's what was going on in my head.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
So thank
great.
You.
Great.
All right, ladies.
Good to see you all.
Have a great month. We'll see you again next time. So get ready, because the next time we're going to start looking at websites, and then we're going to start putting our information out across social media. So get ready.
And Kathy, next week is which one is that for next week?
Masterminds.
The mastermind. Which mastermind is it for this same time next week?
No, I was going to share my screen, but Sherry, I can't because Sherry's got hers on somehow.
I think next week is, we don't do blogging. We do your new thing on how to create the 5 days something.
Yes.
I'm butchering it, but.
Yeah. If you go right to my website anytime that you want to check out and go to the calendar of events, it'll take just a second to come up. This shows everything that's going on right here on the
calendar.
Gotcha.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So at 12 noon, it's how to create your own mastermind, masterclass, or challenge.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm going to send it to a couple people.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, guys. We'll see everybody next time. Thank you so much for your patience today.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All
bye
of
bye
you.
Now. Mm-hmm.
See you later tonight, Sherry.